All right, so we are going to be in Matthew chapter 13, and we've been talking a lot about something that Matthew uses a lot in his writing, and that is this idea of the kingdom of heaven. After 12 chapters, does anybody want to try to explain what is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? Yes. Okay, it's God's kingdom. You're right. The kingdom of heaven is God's kingdom. And if there's a kingdom of heaven, is there another kind of kingdom too that is going on as well? What would the other kingdom might be called? If Jesus is bringing the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is near and it's at hand, he uses all those kind of terms. What is the kingdom that would be here right now that he would be talking about? All right, the kingdom of the world, right? The way that the world works right now, does it follow God and care what he wants? And is that the way the world kind of works? No, unfortunately, we kind of rebel against God, don't we? And we want to do our own thing. And so what Jesus was saying was, he's saying, I'm bringing a new way. Remember, we've talked about this. I'm bringing a new way of thinking, a new way of living, right? And so that's what that kingdom of heaven is. It's a new way. It's a better way. It's a good way to live and to follow God and to listen and to believe what Jesus is saying. That's what that kingdom of heaven is all about. And so we're going to talk about that quite a bit tonight in chapter 13. So we've talked a little bit about parables just a few times. Who knows what a parable is? Does anybody know what a parable is? It's not probably a word that we use a whole lot. Ian?
It's a story.
Okay, yeah, it's a story, but is it just any kind of story? Is every story a parable? No. What does a parable do? Okay, in these cases, yes, the parables that Jesus is teaching, it's a story that has kind of a hidden meaning or a message that you have to kind of really dig to understand. And we're going to hear about some of those tonight that Jesus was telling to the people. Remember? People are following him all over as he travels around. And in this chapter, he's actually near the Sea of Galilee, which is close to where he grew up in the town of Nazareth. So that's where he's at right now. He's there. There may be people who have kind of known who he was. We know that there were people because we find that out at the end of the chapter. We'll talk about that. But he's out teaching, and people are coming, and they're still coming to listen to him because they've heard the amazing things that he's done. Remember all the miracles that we've talked about? They've heard about those things, so they want to come out and hear what he has to say. So we're going to start in chapter 13. It says, that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him, and he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. So you can kind of imagine that, right? This whole group of people come out to listen to Jesus. He's just kind of sitting out, enjoying nature. And they all come out. They want to hear him. And so he climbs into a boat, and he kind of goes out a little bit into the water so that he creates a little bit of separation so that I think more people could hear him. Okay? And so all these people are sitting on the beach listening to Jesus. That's where we're at. It says, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, this is the first one. He says, behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. So Jesus is telling a story, right? He says, there's this person who goes out, and they are a sower. What is a sower? Might be kind of tricky. What is a sower?
A person who, sows, clothes.
Oh, yeah. See, it sounds like that, doesn't it? This is a different kind of sowing, though. This is sowing seeds. So in Jesus' day, what they would do is they would have a big bag of seeds that they would kind of throw over their shoulder, and it would be hanging down, and they would go out, and it's not like farming today. It was a little bit different. And so they would go out, and they would go out into their field, and they would take a big handful of that seed, and they would cover the whole field as much as they could. So they'd go all the way to the edges, all the way along, and try to get as much seed as they could out so that it could grow and they could have a big crop. So when you're doing that, you're going to have seed that falls kind of all over the place, right? Sometimes when we plant a garden, we go out and we dig one hole and we put one or two seeds in it, right? And then we dig another hole in a straight line. And so we're really careful to kind of put the seeds where we think they're going to grow best when we do a garden, right? Have you ever done a garden? Who's done a garden? Few people have done a garden. Okay. Well, when you're doing a garden, you don't just throw the seed wherever you want it to go or don't want it to go. You're really specific. But that's not the way they planted seed back then. And so they're throwing it all over the place. And the first seed that falls on some of the rocky path that he had maybe just walked in on, somewhere where people just walk all over. Is that a good place to try and grow? All right, but notice one thing. Did the sower stay away from that and make sure he doesn't throw any seed over there? No, he doesn't do that. He just goes out and he throws it, and wherever it lands, it lands. So some of it lands on this rocky place or on the roadway, and it says birds come and they eat it up. And some of it, others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So the second place that the seed falls is on some shallow soil that maybe is only just a little bit deep, and so when it gets wet, it kind of springs up right away because it thinks, oh, I can grow here. But then once the hot sun comes out in that area of the world, the sun gets really hot, especially in the summer. The sun comes out and that little plant can't handle the heat because it doesn't have enough roots that go down in because the soil is too shallow. It's rocky. So that's the second kind of seed. But did the sower go and measure the soil depth everywhere and make sure that the soil was deep enough and that there would be enough place for... No, that's not what he did. He just went out and he threw it out there. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. And he who has ears, let him hear. So that's the end of Jesus' story. That's the story Jesus told. Does that sound like a story about the kingdom of heaven? Yeah. Oh, well, it is, even though maybe at first you kind of are thinking, what is that about? Well, guess what? You're in good company, because even Jesus' disciples were thinking, what's that about? We don't understand what that means. All right, so there's the four types of soil, right? We have the rocky path or the pathway where the seed doesn't even get a chance. It gets eaten by the birds. Then we have the shallow soil that kind of thinks it has enough to grow, but then it finds out, oh no, once the sun comes out, I don't have enough roots, and it withers away. And then the third one, who heard what the third one was? Jordan? Oh, it fell amongst some bad things, right? Thorns, weeds, right? Have you ever accidentally grabbed a thistle plant and it has all those stickers on it? Oh man, that's what it sounds like. It fell amongst some really nasty weeds. That's where that grew up. And so it grew for a little while, but If you know anything about growing plants, weeds grow faster than everything else, don't they? So if you have some good seed and it falls in with some weeds, a lot of times the weeds just take over and it doesn't have a chance to actually grow. But some of those seeds fell on really good soil and it grew like it was supposed to, and it had a nice good root. And not only did it just grow up tall, but it produced more seeds. That's what it means when it says it had, that it produced a crop. The point of farming is not just to grow a plant, right? It's not just to grow a plant and then be like, all right, we did it. No, it's you want that plant to grow up and you want it to produce more seeds, and then all of a sudden your one seed, in this case it says some of those single seeds now became 100 seeds, and some of those seeds became 60 seeds, and some of those seeds became 30 seeds, right? That's good. That's what you want a seed to do. So what is Jesus talking about here? How does this relate to the kingdom of heaven? And why is he telling them in parables? Well, the good thing is we don't have to guess. This is one of the parables that Jesus takes the time and he actually explains it to his disciples because they didn't understand either. It says, and the disciples came and said to him, well, first they asked this question, why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you telling these stories that nobody knows what you're talking about? That's what these disciples said to him. And Jesus answered to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. It's kind of an interesting answer, isn't it? Why is that? Well, he goes on to say this, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. What Jesus is saying is, he's saying, I'm speaking in parables because the people who are here, they don't actually want to listen to me. They're here to see miracles. That's kind of what we'll find out later on. The people that were coming out to listen to Jesus were not really there to listen to what he was saying and then change their lives and do what he was saying. They were there just because they wanted to see the famous guy that has been doing miracles that they've heard about, okay? And so Jesus says, they're not here to learn from me anyway. So that's one of the reasons he's speaking in parables. In fact, he says later, or he actually says that the reason that he's doing that also is because even in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said, this is what is going to happen. What's going to happen is that people are going to come out to listen, but they're not going to actually hear. And they're going to come out to see, but they're not going to really understand. Okay? So what does the parable mean then? After he told them that, they said this. They said, for truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. So here's the answer that Jesus gives. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that what has been sown in his heart. So he's saying, that person that's going out and throwing that seed, that's like when we tell people about who Jesus is, or we tell people true things about what God has said. That is us throwing that seed out for people to hear. And so he says these different places that that seed falls are like the people that we come in contact with. Some people don't want to listen. And so Jesus says those people, they may hear what you say, but it doesn't affect them at all. They just keep on going exactly the way they were living before. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Jesus says there's going to be some people who hear the things that you tell them about me, about Jesus, and they're going to get really excited at first, but then as soon as some hard things start happening, like maybe some people start making fun of them for believing in Jesus and listening to what God says, they decide, you know what, this isn't worth it. I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for getting made fun of. And so they just say, I don't want anything to do with following Jesus, if that's the way it's going to be. So that's that second type of person that hears the word of God. It says, and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So that third type of person is someone who maybe hears, and they feel like they kind of believe it, but then, remember, we have that kingdom of heaven and we have the kingdom of the world. The things that the world tells them are important, they just are, it's too strong, and they go back to believing all those things that the world says are important, like money and fame and being powerful and getting as rich as you can, any way you can. That's what the world tells us is important. That just overwhelms any idea that they have about following what Jesus says. So there's going to be some people like that that hear that the word of God. But then there's this fourth type of person, or this fourth type of soil. It says, and the one whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Those are people who hear what God is telling them. They listen and they hear it, and they don't just hear it and say, well, that sounds like some good advice. They say, I believe that. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I live, and I'm going to trust what Jesus is telling me. Those are people who actually throw away the way that the world has taught, the things that the world has taught them, and they change and they do the things that Jesus is saying, the way that Jesus says we should live. And not only that, when it says that they produce fruit, that means that they go out and they're sowing that seed to other people. That's what we're supposed to do. When we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, we're not supposed to just keep that to ourselves. We're supposed to go out and tell other people. And the one thing I want you to also learn from this lesson is, are we supposed to kind of try to figure out who the people are that are going to listen to what God says in the Bible? I don't think that's what it indicates, right? It doesn't say that the people out telling people about Jesus are supposed to try to figure out who the people are that are going to listen. They're just supposed to go out and tell anyone they come across, anyone that they have an opportunity to tell, because only God knows who the people are that are going to listen and respond, right? God is the only one who knows the type of soil that those people are. We don't. We try to figure it out sometimes, and that doesn't go very well. That usually means that we just then don't tell someone because we think, well, they're not going to listen anyway, or, oh, they're not going to care. They're going to think I'm silly. But that's not really our place to decide that. We need to leave that up to God. And so if we have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus and tell them about how he came and died for our sins, we need to do that and leave it up to God. Well, that was kind of the main parable that he told. That was one of the long ones, and he gave that explanation. But there were several other ones here, and I'll just quickly go through them. And all of them start out with the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. So Jesus is telling several different short parables here, and all of them are kind of helping us understand, what is the kingdom of heaven? The first one says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. All right, again, we have this picture of the kingdom of heaven is like someone who is planting things. All right, let's keep going. Verse 31, he says, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Do you see kind of a pattern here? Jesus is comparing what the kingdom of heaven is like to the way plants grow, right, and produce more fruit. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's something that continues to grow and continues to produce fruit. It's not something that just grows and stops. It keeps on going. It keeps on affecting more and more and more people along the way. How many people know how big a mustard seed is? Anybody seen a mustard seed? It's hard to see a mustard seed. They're really tiny. I mean, if I was holding one right here, which I'm not, you wouldn't be able to tell. I could tell you that I'm holding a mustard seed right now, and you wouldn't be able to tell whether I was or not. But I'm not. But that's how small they are. But what Jesus says here, he's like, the kingdom of heaven is like that tiny little seed that you can't even see, and yet when you go plant it in the ground, all of a sudden, after several years, all of a sudden it's 15 feet tall, and there's birds that can come nest in it. And that's a picture of what God's word does in our life. It grows up and it provides for us. It provides the things that we need, and it provides the things for the people around us too. It's producing things. It's producing good things in our lives. All right, the next one, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. How many people know what leaven is? That's a word we use the word yeast. How many people know what yeast is? Okay. How many people have heard of bread? Anybody heard of bread? Okay, good. Everybody. All right. Yeast is something that we put in bread so that it does what? Rises, right? It makes it fluffy and it's light, and we like bread that's like that. Yeah, we do. So this is a picture of, like, even though you can't, I mean, it's hard to see what yeast is doing, right? When you first put it in, it just kind of sits there and it doesn't look like it's doing much. But if you leave it for a while, have you ever helped your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa or your aunt or uncle make bread? Do you just put the yeast in it and then you just throw it in the oven, right? No, what do? You put the yeast in it and then you do what? Yeah, usually you have to add water. What do you do, though, after you mix it all up and you've got your ball of dough?
You cover it.
Okay, yeah, you cover it up, right? And then you do what? You kind of set it off over to the side for a while, right? Do you sit there and watch it? No, because that would be boring. But after a while, you come back and you look and you're like, oh, look at it, now it's risen. Well, that's what she did. And that's what Jesus is saying when the kingdom of heaven, when the word of God is working in your life, it may be small little changes, but over time, you're going to notice, wow, this is different now. This made a big change in my life. Okay? Jesus is saying that's the way that God's word works. It continues to work in your life, even when you don't know that it is, even when you don't think about it. If you're continuing to listen and hear and follow what Jesus says, it's going to make changes in your life over time. Okay, so let's keep going. We're going to finish up. So he tells several other parables here, and if you have time, you can go read those in chapter 13. But all of them compare the kingdom of heaven to something. And each of them give us a little bit different understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is. It's here to change things. It's here to change people. It's here to provide good things, right? But it's also something that is not going to be listened to or believed by everyone. And we don't know who those people are. Only God does. That's what Jesus is telling us. Well, we get to the very end of the chapter, and this is a kind of a sad part here. It says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and he came to his hometown. So he was on the Sea of Galilee, and now he goes over to his own hometown of Nazareth. And he began teaching there in their synagogue, and they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? That sounds good, right? That sounds like they're really interested in what Jesus is talking about. But, unfortunately, they were not saying it in the, this is really amazing, we're so excited. They were saying, well, the next sentence is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? They're saying, who does this guy think he is? He grew up here in Nazareth just like we did. What makes him so special? That was their attitude toward Jesus, even though they knew that the things that he was saying were different from the things that they had heard before. And even though they knew and had heard that he had done miraculous things, they still treated him like he was just a nobody from Nazareth. In fact, that's one of the things that somebody says. They say, what good has ever come from Nazareth? Later on. But that's how they looked at it. They thought, he's Joseph's kid. He's that carpenter's son. There's no reason to really pay attention to him. It says, and they took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. So he says, this is what I expected. I expected you to not take me seriously because you think you know who I am. You think you know what I'm here for. It says, and he did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. So they missed out. Because they were not willing to listen to Jesus and pay attention to him, he didn't do the miracles that he'd been doing in other places in his own hometown. They missed out because of their unbelief. My prayer would be that we don't miss out. We don't miss out on who Jesus is. We listen to him, and we become like that good soil that grows up and becomes a plant that produces more seeds, and we tell other people about Jesus. That's what we want the gospel to do, what we want God's word to do in our lives. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we had tonight, and I just pray that you'd be working in the kids' hearts and that you would help them to understand these things. And we just thank you for loving us and being patient with us, even when we don't understand, just like you were with your disciples. And explaining to them over and over again who you were and why you came. I pray that you would help us to understand and believe those things as well. In Jesus' name, amen.